Hi, I'm Kenny Drucker, and you're listening to Glory Days of Gold.
Lord Provost Warren of Glasgow presents the Scottish League Cup to the side that lasted the course better. All-conquering East Fife.
As I made my way to that pitch on Wellesley Road, sing my songs for the boys in black and gold. I heard the stories about 1938, and I was just a boy, I knew I'd have to wait. Now there's broken dreams and what might have been at that stadium by the shore, but those glory days of gold might return once more.
Hello, hello everybody, and welcome to Glory Days of Gold, your East Fife and Scottish football podcast. I'm Lee Gillis.
I'm Doug Pilley.
And I'm Aaron Anderson.
Just the three of us, we can make it if we try. Michael is otherwise engaged, I don't know, watching soccer or hockey or whatever. Canadian shite he's up to. I don't know, being a Mountie, being mounted, you know, either or. Gordon didn't give us an excuse and neither did War, so we're just down to the three of us. We don't have lots and lots to talk about today. Obviously, we've got the game versus Stenhousemuir. We'll talk a bit about that. We'll talk a bit about Saturday and the upcoming event at Bayview after our home game, with a quick chat with Dick Campbell and obviously PG Charletta set as well. There's only a few tickets remaining, so make sure you get yourselves along to that. But before we get deeply involved, here's this episode sponsor.
Mays Mortgages are Fife-based mortgage and protection specialists. Our aim is to provide our client with high-quality, personal and friendly service. Our advisors have over 25 years of industry experience and have an outstanding record for sourcing our clients the products that suit their needs. Where we're different though, unlike many other brokers, from start to finish, we won't charge you a penny. Contact us via Facebook to find out more.
Thanks as always to Mays Mortgages for their continued support of us. And I think I said it in a previous episode, but recently went to Paul to get my mortgage sorted, and the service that I received from those guys was first class start to finish. So they've continued to support us. They've supported me personally, and I can only vouch for the great service I've received. So please make sure that you give them a visit when you're due for a wee renewal or if you just want to buy an additional property, etc. So we'll come to Doug first. How are you, Doug?
I'm good. Been doing a bit of caddying at King's Barnes, which has been great in this weather. We're recording this on Monday night, so if you're listening to it on Tuesday, just have a wee think while you're wherever you are that I'll be out on that golf course, because the forecast is horrendous tomorrow. So yeah, apart from that, nothing too exciting, to be honest.
And were you having a caddy in that horrendous wind?
Yeah.
I mean,
it's been beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm a very bad golfer. And when I say very bad, I mean terrible. But I don't imagine hitting a golf ball into that wind would have been good fun.
No, but some people seem to... Well, I don't know if they enjoy it, but if they've paid their money to come over from whatever part of the world, then I guess you do it.
Did you get any good tips?
Yeah, it's been all right, actually. Not bad. And then I'm away to South Africa on Sunday for a couple of weeks on tour again, so get a little bit of sunshine, which will be nice.
And you could bless the rains when you're down
yeah,
there.
Although it's first week's in Johannesburg, which I think is now known as like the most dangerous city in the world. So, you know, if I dodge the machine guns and stuff like that, then I'll be back in a couple of weeks to do the next pod.
And if you don't?
I'll be dead, I guess.
That's fine. I look forward to seeing what you've left me and you're well. Moving swiftly on, Ando, how are you, mate?
Good, thanks. Not been on for a wee while, just obviously Cali being born a few weeks ago. So, yeah, trying to acclimatise another baby, but it's getting there.
Do you just hate sleep?
Aye, you just get used to no sleep. That's where I am now. So, baby fog takes over quite a lot, but I'm fine. Totally fine. Love it. Although in saying that, last night was what, 3 hours I managed in grand total, 3 hours night sleep, which was better than last week. So it's actually not too bad, to be fair.
Regression, mate. Regression. And undefeated since Callie was born as well.
Yeah, coincidentally, she was born, I think, 2 days before Dick Campbell was announced. So that was brilliant timing, to be honest. So hopefully that lucky omen continues as we see out the end of the season and see if we can be getting those playoffs.
So let's crack on. We obviously had a game against the top of the table, Stenhouse Muir, on Saturday. And Doug, I mean, watching the game, I didn't feel there was much between the sides.
I was there. I mean, the wind played a big part. It was crosswind, so it was pretty difficult, to be fair. It wasn't a great game. No, I mean, I think they probably maybe shaded it in sort of decent chances, but I wouldn't say there was too many for either team. There was probably maybe three or four for Stenny and maybe a couple for us. But no, look, I don't think it was undeserved, but I think if anyone was to maybe have shaded it, might have been them, but splitting hairs there.
I mean, I think the big thing that we've seen from the game on Sunday was that real lack of a presence up top. Don't get me wrong, we're going to come on to Scott Shepherd at some point, I'm sure, who I thought was excellent on Saturday. But it just does go to show that we really do miss Nathan Austin with Fash when he's not playing.
Yeah, massively, massively. But again, I thought, you know, when you consider that they obviously won the league on Saturday, I thought we were very comfortable. I thought we had things under control, which we've had a lot since Dick Campbell came in, to be brutally honest with you. But yeah, right, I think there was times when we got into the final third on Saturday, and there was one or two, can we call them half chances? I think when obviously Jack's free kick saved and Troughton goes for the rebound, I don't know if Fash reacts a little bit quicker there and hooks that back in, for example, just being a proper number nine. I thought we were comfortable. I just thought we were lacking a little bit when we got to the final third. I actually thought Jack Healy put a couple of brilliant crosses in that if Fash is playing with his movement and desire to get goals, I think he gets on the end of those crosses. And I thought the fact that nobody got on the end of a few of them, it was a bit of a disservice to Jack, to be honest. So, yeah, I that would be the only thing that my worry would be going into the next couple of games is if we're still lacking that cutting edge at number nine up top.
We don't obviously know categorically, Doug, how long Nathan Lawson's out for. But do you think that that puts a dampener on any potential playoff opportunity?
Oh, I think any team in the league would suffer if Fash was out. I think it does expose us a little bit. It really means that goals have to come from, probably puts a little more onus on midfielders a little bit to get forward, which is maybe something we're not great at. You know, everything's really been sort of around the Troughton sort of area. I thought Shepherd was pretty good on Saturday. I thought the wind kind of exposed his first touch a little. There was quite a lot of heavy, really heavy touches. I actually thought he did quite well when he went on the right when Schiavone came on. But again, I don't think Schiavone's the answer to get us goals, unfortunately. Good in the air, but I just don't see what else he's bringing right now. But no, I think, yeah, as I say, any team would miss Fash. There's no doubt about that. And just especially when he was in a bit of form, you'd expect him to get a good two, three chances a game for himself. And in the form he was in, he was putting one away quite regularly. So, no, I think every team would miss him. But, we'll just have to try and, you know, put the goals about the team and try and see if we can just win these last four somehow.
Going into the game, I think you said it earlier on, and our only clear-cut chance was the one from Troughton, which I think we'll forgive him given the angle that it wasn't the easiest finish. But it was another game where Jack Healy has impressed. I mean, I was obviously on in the last game, but he's just, I don't know, he's having a sort of resurgence under Dick Campbell, particularly in the last few weeks, where we're seeing him cutting in on his left more. We're seeing him, using his left foot, which we've been shouting out now for what seems like forever on the show. But what do you put that down to? It's probably the easiest part. I mean, obviously you've got experience in coaching 2 games for the under 20s this season. all joking aside. But obviously you've got experience as a coach, and do you put that down to the coaching that's come from Dick Campbell and his team, or just a bit of confidence?
Think there's a bit of both, to be honest. I think the thing we need to do with Jack is we need to be honest and give him his kudos, if you like, because we have been quite critical of him in the past, more because we know of what he can be capable of. And I think the first thing with Jack is that his work rate and tracking back's improved since Dick Campbell came in. He's doing the dirtier side of the game better than what he was before. There's a couple instances on Saturday where he has managed to track his man back. He's made an interception. He's maybe given the ball away as he's played forward. But the point being is that he's tracking back and he's doing the dirty side of the game as well, which, knowing Dick Campbell's sides, every single player is expected to do that, as you want to be hard to beat. So I think that comes from the manager first and foremost. I don't know if it's been a case of, don't want to say a rocket, but in terms of telling him, this is the bare minimum that we expect from you in every game. And he's proven already that if you don't do it, you won't play. Jack hasn't started every game under Dick Campbell. Whereas before, I think there was a period where I think we'd all agree that maybe he wasn't playing too well, but he still found himself in the starting 11 every week. I think the second thing that you could see that's improved a little bit is his decision making. I actually think his decision making really improved. And not just in terms of who does he pass to, but do I take it on the outside of my left? He done it a couple of times against Elgin, a couple of times against Stranraer, rather than always cutting on his right-hand side. So he's added that to his game, like you said. And I think the one bit of coaching, and I've said this before on here, I'm sure, that I think he's got better at since Dick Campbell got in, is that before with Greg, Jack was hanging out on the touch line a lot when the ball was at the opposite side. Whereas what he's trying to do now is he's actually trying to get in towards the back post when crosses come in. And when you look at his goal against Stranraer, for example, that was the perfect case in point. He's actually got across the front of his man and he scored. So he's getting himself into positions where he is going to put crosses in the box, where he is going to get shots at goal. And I think that comes from coaching, to be brutally honest with you. But no, I've been really impressed with Jack. Really, really impressed with Jack since Dick Campbell came in. And I think we need to give him some credit because a lot of us, me included, were very critical of him at times earlier in the year. And as long as he stays consistent now, he shouldn't be getting dropped.
Doug, I mean, I don't think there's much really else to touch on the game on Sunday. So I keep saying Sunday, Saturday. Yesterday was Sunday. We're normally recording on Sunday, that's why I keep getting it wrong. But I don't think there's really much else to touch on from the game on Saturday, and please forgive me if I'm wrong. But the next point that I had written down was about Liam Newton, which was one that was brought up on the group chat on Saturday. And he's another one that we're just seeing, just getting better by the week. Don't get me wrong, I think with Liam sometimes it's his decision making, and I think, I can't remember if it was Saturday or the week before, where he turns and he passes inside and almost gives a goal away. But aside of that, he just looks strong. He looks like he knows what his job is. Whether it's going forward, coming back, whatever, he just looks a little bit more sure of himself, and one of the other players that's flourishing under the Campbells.
Yeah, definitely. I wonder if it's the part that both the guys on the same flank are suddenly playing a lot better. Maybe they're understanding together, that it's maybe a bit more of a teamwork between the two of them. I know Jack's tracking back's been really, really improved, I think. But no, I think Newton's looking a bit more like the guy he was sort of a year and a half ago. He's, we kind of talked about, have we maybe solved the problem of left back? And I think for most of the season under Greg, the answer was probably no, if we're being honest. But no, he was good, and it's almost like he seems a bigger guy. He seems a bigger presence now. He's winning a lot of headers. He's winning duels, and no, I thought he was really good on Saturday. And as I say, it was really, really, for anyone that wasn't there, it was properly tough conditions. That, I mean, that was really hard to play against. So I thought he was. I thought he was really good. And we touched on it last week. I think almost to a man, you could say there's been a big improvement. You know what I mean? I think. Even just very quickly going back to Jack, I think people just forget as well. Especially with wingers, you're not going to get. You know, you're not getting 9 out of 10 every game. You're going to have spells in games where they do apps. I mean, the guy O'Reilly, is it Ewan O'Reilly, the winger for Stenishmere? Yeah. Who I think a proper, at this level, is just that little bit above Healy for me. I mean, Saturday was the perfect case of that. Really good for quite a bit of the game and then totally disappeared. Because I think that's just what, if you're playing at this level, you're not going to be on all the time. But no, I think that whole side of the pitch has been massively, massively improved.
Aaron, you had a point to raise about Liam Newton.
Yeah, I think he's possibly one of our best players since Dick Campbell came in. He's just grown week on week. But I think the one that really proved it was, I don't know if it was half an hour in or so, just maybe before half an hour, I think, when O'Reilly's got down the left and he stood a ball up to the back post and Newton's actually tucked in and he's won the header, took it off Yates's head and conceded the corner. Whereas I think going back 3-4 months, Liam Newton isn't in that position. You know, like he's not tucking in. And there was a lot of times in the past where he would be maybe out of position a little bit because he wasn't natural left back, you know, going back when he first started out and he was getting caught out positionally. Whereas there, that was massive because it's a free header for Yates at the back post if Newton doesn't tuck in. And I think that's just a sign as well that there has been coaching that has developed these players. You know, it's not just a case of being well motivated. There's actually been some form of instruction that's made them better. And as a result, we're not seeing Flem make as many saves as what he used to do. Well, that's the biggest thing I've noticed since Dick Campbell came in. Prior to Dick Campbell coming in, Flem was always one of the candidates for man the match because he was making save after save. Even in games we won, he was being called upon regularly. Whereas that's not happening now. You know, I can only remember one save he made on Saturday. The one for the corner, I think, where he's tipped it over. Was there a second one that I've missed, maybe? But I could certainly remember one in the first half that he's tipped over. But he was quiet.
I'm just having a look here. And it's a very, very quick scan. So if I'm wrong, which I've been known to be quite regularly on this show, I think that's our first back-to-back clean sheets of the season. Because it was goals.
That would sound about right.
And that's, you know, that's testament in itself. The reason Stenishmere have won the league is because they don't concede a lot of goals, right? They're decent going forward. But I actually think that what's huge for them is you've got Binham at left back, who's class. I think he's a really good player. You've got Gregor Buchanan, who's a top player. You've got the other boy, what's his name? Centre half. Name's escaping me right now. Jameson, that's a top player as well. So really, like, I think even just the spine of the team at Stenny as well, you've got Jameson, their keeper, who had a couple of shaky moments on Saturday, but then Nat Weatherburn in the middle of the park, and then you've got Yates and Aitken up top. Gary Naismith's done a remarkable job at building the squad he has there. Now, I know that listeners of the show will be sitting going, oh, but you didn't want him back, blah, 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 blah. I'll hold my hands up and say I was wrong there. Stenishmere have won their first league title under Gary Naismith. Just like he done with us, you know, he is a good manager. I think the telling sign will be what he does when he goes up next season. You know, is he going to be somebody that's, you know, continuously good at winning League Two? Because when he took us up, we were in great shakes. Obviously, he went to Queen of the South and didn't do a great job there. But, you know, I do want to put on record congratulations to Stenishmere because that is unbelievable. Like, could you imagine how that would feel as a fan? Like, I know how it felt when we got that promotion under Moffat, how we won that first league title under Bakey, and you know the elation that you felt when that happened. But Doug, I mean, you've got to kind of be envious of Stenishmere fans getting that just now.
Yeah, maybe not envious. I was certainly really happy for that. I kept saying to my brother when we were there that, I mean, the ideal situation would be us to win, Peterhead to lose, so they still win the league when they're, you know, because it was quite cool to see, and obviously they had their little nervy moment where it was full time at Oakle View, but they were waiting to hear on the result of Peterhead. But No, look, yeah, as you say, they're spying their team. I mean, Buchanan, we say it every time he plays against us, just wins everything. And actually, very quickly, that was probably my only downside to Saturday was we let him have three or four free headers from corners and nobody marked him, which I thought was remarkable. But I think we've said that every time. Maybe his movement's class, but I don't think it was. No, I think it's brilliant to have your first league title in 140 years is actually kind of hard to get your head around. Obviously, we've for a smaller team, we've had a quite a successful history, I guess, but 140 years without winning anything. So, no, look, brilliant for the fans who I thought were great because, look, we were initially going to be punted round the back of the non-covered area, but I think they realised the weather forecast might be quite bad, so there was no segregation. But it was absolutely grand. It was really good, actually. So that absolutely, all congratulations to them. It's great. Quite pleased for them.
Aaron, I mean, moving on from those lucky bar stewards, it's we are getting to celebrate a league title. There's obviously only a handful of places left to go, and when we look at that, it is getting further away. Dick Campbell mentioned that in his post-match that actually, the chance of reclaiming those 6 points that we really need is, disappearing by the week. So our remaining fixtures. If you give me 2 seconds, because I scrolled up, I was talking about back-to-back clean sheets. So Bonnyrigg Rose at home on Saturday, Forfar away on the 20th, Clyde away on the 27th, and Spartans at home. Now, when you look at those fixtures, which ones stand out for you the most?
Obviously, the Spartans one could be the big one at the end of the season. But we need to try and close that gap before then. I think the big thing for us is that we need to make sure that we don't slip up in these games. Bonnyrigg at home. I know Bonnyrigg are fighting for their lives, but they're a poor side. I mean, I'm sorry, they're not a good side. And the way we're going at the moment, fash or no fash, we should be turning them over at home. And I know it's a cliche, but you really do just need to go a game at a time because, you just don't know what's going to happen week by week. We could beat Bonnyrigg and Spartans might lose, and then suddenly you're 3 points. So we just really need to go game by game and not look too far ahead. I mean, the Clyde were away as well. They're second bottom now, but again, they're battling and fighting for their lives. So even though you're looking at it and thinking you've got three teams there that are in the bottom half of the league, it doesn't guarantee you 3 wins. You just need to go week by week, win it, and then you hope that by the time we play Spartans at the end of the season, we've got a chance of overtaking them with a win, and you make that a final in itself. And I don't think Spartans are looking great at the moment, to be honest. I think a lot of teams have figured them out. I know they play a really good brand of football. They're pleasing on the eye. However, they have stumbled a little bit over the last few weeks. And if you're going off form, we must be top two form teams in the league. Spartans are nowhere near that. So we just need to make sure that we are not kicking ourselves at the end of the season by thinking, oh, we've scuppered it by drawing at home at Bonnyrigg. We need to make sure we don't have any regrets with that.
Doug, I'm kind of hoping that this isn't going to be a season of what ifs. What if we'd had Dick Campbell 4 weeks earlier? What if, and I think that the way that it is looking, it is going to be that. Just to give you guys some insight as well, the hospitality for Spartans in the last game of the season sold out already, and we've got 2 tables of 10 on a reserve list. So that's just showing you that the fans are coming back and they're backing the Campbells and what it is that they're trying to do. And a massive well done to those guys for bringing some hope to a season that, let's be honest, we all thought was over. The question I'm going to ask is, well, the point I'm going to make even is, the remaining fixtures for Spartans are Stranraer on Saturday, Bonnyrigg, then us and Peterhead. So really, if they win their next 2 games, they've then got us and Peterhead to play as the last two, who'll all be in that position that they're all going to be fighting for it as much as they can. Do you see Strand, sorry, Spartans really turning it around. I mean, Stranraer obviously got sucker punched, and they're on their lowest ebb. Do you think that Spartans are insurmountable given the time that we've got left, or do you feel that actually we've got a sneaky chance here?
I think we've definitely still got a chance. I think people go 6 points in four games, but really it's only 3 points in three because, if we're 3 points behind them, the goal difference is negligible. I think we're two behind maybe. So, that's a two goal win at the most. They have a wee draw and then they maybe could they draw two of the next three? Definitely. We have to win all three before that to have a chance. I don't think if we did slip up, you would regret. I think the only people that would probably have regret in that situation, sadly, would be the board for not getting rid of Greg weeks before when they should have, is the only thing. But like I said, I'm not having to go because I fair play to them for appointing the best manager we could have. So that's the only regret we'll have that we didn't act sooner. But no, I think we've still got a wee shout. I don't think there's very little in any games in this league. There's not many teams turn over anyone else. I think Bonnyrigg next week will be quite tough because they're now in the situation where they're having to get that they have to get things. Clyde away is the one that I actually really fancy us to win because they might like have to win with two games to go. So I think it helps us if a team like that comes on to us and we can, hit them on the break or whatever. So I don't worry too much about that game. But no, I think, as I say, we have to win the three. If we win the three, well, I think I could see us if we win the next three going into the Spartans game with a chance.
Aaron, same question to you.
Yeah, I'm the same. I think if we take care of our job and win the next three games, just go game by game, tick them off as you go. Spartans form at the minute. I could see them dropping points. I really can. And at the minute, I fancy us against anybody in this league at home. I really do. In fact, I fancy us against anybody at home or away at the moment. Last time we played Spartans, we went there and we beat them, and it was a great result. So there's no reason why we can't beat them at Bayview. I just feel it's really important, though, that we put ourselves in a position, and you know what? See if it gets to the last game and we win all three and Spartans win all three before then, fair play to them. They've done their job, fair play. And then we don't have any regrets because we've done our bit, we've done our best to get there and we've not slipped up on the road. So I could see us getting to that final game with something still left to play for. I really do.
I think for me, it would be good if we can, whether we win them or not, it would be good to go undefeated throughout the rest of the season. I think that would be a nice way to finish. I think it would be a big, big boost for next year. I think it would be good for recruiting players. I think there would be a lot, because that what would that be? What are we 9 games in now? So that would be what, 13? I mean, I can't remember the last time we were 13 games unbeaten. It would certainly be, a hell of a long time ago. So I think that's a big thing for me. I think if we fall short and we stay unbeaten, then fair play. It's a hell of an effort.
I seen a stat kicking about that apparently we've won something like 44% of our points this season since the Camels came in, which is madness. Absolute madness. We all knew that this is what we would get with an appointment such as the Campbells, but they keep, I love listening to them talk. And if any of you have been into hospitality before the game when they come up or after the game when they come up and speak to the people that have been in, they're just so good to listen to. Not only are they funny and warm and engaging, but when they're talking to the fans, it's they use so many buzzwords, and you could tell that they've been in sales, unity, togetherness, and it's just amazing to see. And I don't know about you guys, and I'll come to you first, Doug. But aside of the football, what do you feel like having the Campbells has brought back to East Fife?
I think a lot. I think there's more togetherness everywhere though. I think in the stand it's a little bit more noticeable. I think everyone's kind of enjoying it. I think there's maybe not been a massive increase in crowds, but there's definitely been an increase, you know, which is huge. A bit of pride, for one, as a fan. I mean, I was losing interest really quickly under Greg, I'm not going to lie, towards the end. A lot of, you know, for me, a lot of apathy for the whole club, really, actually, coming towards the end of that. And it's just brought it back. I'm excited to go to games. I'm looking forward to it. On a Monday, I'm like, right, you know, can't wait for Saturday, which I've not had for a long time, to be totally honest. So, yeah, I mean, if that's happened to me, I'm sure it's happening to other people. And, yeah, I just think the name, I think who he is, he's so well known in Scottish football. It's, I don't know, it's quite cool having him as a manager, I think, for us. Like, because I think there'll be loads of clubs who probably don't like him because he's successful, but who'll, you know, be going, God, I hate him, and in brackets, God, I wish he was our manager. So I think it's, I said it last week, the two of them on the touchline are like something out of the Mafia. It's bizarre, funny, like, just, yeah. So everything about it brings a smile to your face, and long may it continue.
If the Campbells listen to this show in your next post-match, please try and forget forget about it in your next post-match.
I would be absolutely amazed if the Campbells ever listen to this podcast.
Of course they do. Every manager that's been at East Fife has said they don't listen to this show and then mention something to me that has been said on the show. So us that they don't, but obviously we're so excellent in our analysis that people continue to tune in. Yeah.
Your thing next Saturday, he's doing a lot of things going, what the fuck's Glory Days ago? What's this I've got myself in for?
He'll probably just throat punch me, to be honest. Worth your admission tickets alone. But yeah, and nice little segue into that, Doug, because we do have an event on, and as I say, we is obviously under the umbrella of the East Fife Supporters Society, and trying to raise some funds for them as they continue their push on to purchase the club, and doing a fantastic job by all accounts as well. If you believe what you read in the press, that the deal is edging closer and could be, according to Pub Chatter anyway, done by the sort of April, May time, which would be a real... I mean, I need to be careful what I say, but I think it would be great for the club in terms of being fan-owned. But yeah, so if you're free on Saturday, you've got two bits of entertainment to look forward to. First of all, you've got a chat with my good self. Well, three including the game, if that's what you mean, Doug. Yep.
Is there not a young guy doing some guitar as well? Donnie something.
All right, yeah, I've maybe missed that then. I'm not prevalent to all the bells and whistles, but yeah. Well, so there is some much needed entertainment for the night on Saturday. You've got the guitarist that Doug's just mentioned. You've got myself and a chat with Dick Campbell, just be speaking about how he's finding things so far and the plans for next season. And then, of course, your headline act for the evening, PG Charletta. He's one of our own, doing a set as well. Who knows? He might even cover the G-Dog theme tune, Doug, and do a better job than you did. Who knows?
That'd be fine, yeah. We need that Glenn Rothes twang on that song for sure.
Sure, he's quicker Coddy, mate. So I don't think we can quite claim him as a Glenn Rothian. But if you're at a loose end Saturday evening, get yourself down. Tickets are available on Skiddle, and we've shared the link on our social media pages, as have the East Fife Supporters Society. Like I say, I think there's 10 tickets left. Get yourself down, because not only are you going to be entertained thoroughly, but you'll be helping the Supporters Society also. And just a quick pledge for them as well. The more fans that we could get donating to East Fife Supporters Society really helps their cause. I believe that the uptake has been good, but could obviously still be better. If you've got any reservations or any questions, please make sure that you direct them to John Tyndall or Ian Lawson, who are both tend to be available on Match Day. Or if you've got any questions that you want us to put to them, we do intend to have them on the show at some point soon, so we can bring that to you then. So really, yes, Doug's giving me the 3-2-1 fingers. I don't know what that means. But do you want to just give us your tagline? Shall we do our 3-2-1s, gentlemen?
Sure.
Go for it.
Okay. I've kind of gone quite defensive minded. I think that first half we were, so anyway, cut a long story short, I'm going with the two centre halves, one and two. I'll go Easton one, who I thought was very good and has been immense really in the last few weeks. Two for Blaney, who I thought was really good, really, really good. Won a lot in the air. And I'm going to give three to Fleming, who I think is our player of the year by a mile for me. Made two. One of them was a really good save. We were right behind it. It was a hell of a save to keep us in it. Yeah, and I actually thought his kicking was really good in what was dreadful conditions. So he is my three.
Aaron?
I'm also fairly defensive. Not as defensive as Doug, though. I've got one for Liam Newton. I like the boy Yates at Steny. I really like him as a player. Yeah. And especially the win against us in the second half, I was a little bit worried about him shooting from distance as well. But I thought Newton dealt with him very, very well, which is just another sign of his progression. So, yeah, one for Newton. I've gone, believe it or not, and this will be maybe controversial, but I've actually given two to Jack. Because I know I can see the faces, but I'll try and justify it. I just feel he's had a lot of criticism, from me included. Stenhouse Muir's a game where he can't carry passengers. He can't carry passengers. And with being just honest, for me, he could have been a passenger 4 or 5 months back. He could have been a passenger. And I just felt that he worked back well, you know, on the same side that Yates is on. He worked well with Newton. I felt he put a number of good crosses in the box that I think if we've got an actual number nine in there, if Fash is playing, I think we create chances off some of the crosses he's put in the box. He has a free kick that Jameson's had a bit of a Chernobyl with and, you know, almost put it straight on a Trouton, but again, hits a target from a free kick. So I just felt that there's been progress there from him in a game where he could have gone missing 4 or 5 months ago and he didn't. So I've gone two for him. And then my three for Blaney at the back. I think he's been a fantastic signing since he's came in. I think he's defensively solid. He doesn't lack pace, which I think was an issue before when you had Easton and Page playing side by side. I don't think that happens now with Blaney in there. He could shell a ball as well. You know, and often it's not just a punt, it's actually a decent long pass. So, yeah, I think he was solid. So, three for Blaney.
So, mine's... I'm very surprised at one of your omissions from both of you guys. And again, I will just echo your comments on Jack. The difference in him has been amazing. And listeners of the show will probably say, oh, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, I've been one of Jack's biggest critics, but I think it's because you've always been able to see the potential there. I just didn't think he was fulfilling that, and I hope that he continues to outperform the way he has been. But he's not made my 3-2-1. My 1 point goes to Alan Fleming. I think it is a real battle between him and Alan Trouton for player of the year, in my opinion. 2 points I gave to Scott Shepherd. I thought he was immense again on Saturday. I just think that his work rate makes a big difference for us across the pitch, and I think that running the channels the way that he does and just how overall giddy he could be in games, I think that he deserved his 2 points. And 3 points again, Blaney, who I think has been arguably one of our best impact signings in recent years. I mean, I know that we're missing Page, but I can't see Page getting back into that team, and I think that testament to what a good job Blaney's done, and I think he's just added that wee bit of pace that we were sorely lacking, and the Campbells just came in, instantly identified that and rectified the problem. But yeah, that was my 3-2-1 for Saturday's game. Gordon, if you're listening back to this, I'd be very interested to hear a points total to see where we're actually at for player of the year this season. I don't know if we're going to be able to use 3-2-1s because our shows haven't been as frequent enough. We might have to do a G-Dog vote. However, given the fact that last year the only member of the G Dog panel that attended the Player of the Year dance was me. I've opted not to do the Doug as well. Sorry, yes,
That's absolutely scandalous.
that's a no.
I literally went around. I went around the whole freaking room getting, "Hi, I'm Jack Healy, and you're listening to," and I get nothing. I went outside. I picked up two or three, but don't worry. We got our. It was me and you with a photo with
I
Healy
know.
for. I mean, this is ridiculous.
That's a Western Supermare for me, mate. That's an absolute Western Supermare. Have you got your tickets for this year?
Nah,
No,
I'm
because
not
you're
going. I
away.
get so underappreciated when I'm there. I don't. When
Oh. Did they make get you a Kleenex?
is it?
I don't know.
Oh.
I just bought my tickets. I actually don't know what date it is.
If I'm home, is it, if it's the Saturday after the Spartans game, that would be good. I don't know if it is.
I'll tell you just now.
Anyway, sorry, this is boring for everyone else right now.
Yeah, but get your tickets. I think that apparently it's almost a sellout again. I can't remember the exact date. I'm sure that the supporters club will back it. Doug, if you would like to go, mate, I've got a spare ticket, and you're more than welcome to have
Isn't
it.
that
But yes, we have opted not to present a trophy on the evening. We'll do one some other time, purely because I couldn't be bothered organising a trophy this year, and that's the long and short of it. But yes, we'll be interested to see how that goes. The last part of the chat for this week is the trapdoor, is what I've called it, because when we look at the bottom half of the table, it's getting really, really shaky. And every week, my prediction of who's going to fall out of that trapdoor tends to change. I thought that Clyde would manage to wiggle themselves out of it, and they're proving, it's taken their players a wee bit of time to gel. But I mean, a really last gasp winner, and I don't know if anybody's seen Scott Agnew's post-match interview, but it was hard not to feel sorry for him. He just looked completely and utterly deflated. So just to bring up the table, for you guys, Doug, I know when you like, I love that I list every team and the points they're on, but I'm not going to do that because I think that really now, there's only four teams that you would probably say that are in that. I think Elgin will probably stay up now. But you've got Forfar on 36 points, Bonnyrigg on 32, and then you've got Clyde and Stranraer, who are staring the abyss in the face. I think Forfar really should be okay, but you're thinking that Bonnyrigg, Clyde, and Stranraer are the ones that are probably the favourite for the drop. So I'm going to ask you a two-part question. I'm going to give you the fixtures as well. So I'll let you start preparing your answers just now, but I'll tell you the fixtures, and then I'll tell you, and then I want to know who you think is going to go down, but who would you want to go down? So two completely different answers. So I'll start off with the fixtures, and the first one is for Bonnyrigg. So Bonnyrigg have got a really hard game on Saturday against us. Then they've got Spartans in the Edinburgh Derby, then Stenhouse Muir, and then Forfar. So I don't think that Bonnyrigg have got an easy run. Clyde, however, I've got Dumbarton, Stenhouse Muir, us, and then Elgin. So again, some tough fixtures for them. However, I think Stranraer are the team that look like they could be doomed as they play Spartans, Dumbarton, Forfar, and then Stenhouse Muir. So it's going to be really, really interesting. I actually think more interesting to the neutral than who's going to go up, because I think that really we're going to lose, I think, probably an established team in either Clyde or Stranraer. Bonnyrigg, and I'll tell you now, I would love them to go down. Absolutely love them. I don't like the ground. I don't like the fans. I don't like their style of football. The only thing that saves them for me is Kevin Smith there now. Now, a bit like, quite like to see him turn it around there. But Doug, I'm going to come to you first. Who do you think will go down, and who do you want to go down?
I think I said Clyde last week because I didn't feel like they've quite done what we thought they would do. I know they've kind of got back into it a wee bit, but they scored a couple of really late goals to mask pretty crappy performances. I think Stranraer will go down. I'm actually amazed Agnew's still on a job, if I'm being honest with you. He's not done well at all, let's face it. I would love Clyde to go down. Absolutely adore Clyde to go down. I don't know if you even saw the way they celebrated their winner on Saturday. It was disgusting. like literally straight to the Stranraer fans. Like you've got all your own fans who you've just scored a 94th minute and they all ran at the Stranraer fans giving it fucking, and I just thought, you classless bunch of homeless bastards. I would love Clyde to go down. Also,
can you just do me a favour, mate, and not hold back and tell us how you really feel? Because I kind of felt like that was a really
I think it's because I hate their physio so much, that big bald bar steward that likes to give it up everyone. Bonnie Rigg, I quite like Bonnie Rigg. I think it's a good away day for us. I think the social club's great. I like that they never spent bazillion quid to try and come up and just did it the kind of right way. I hope they stay up. It is a good away. And if Stranraer go, well, we never have to go to Stranraer, you know, which in itself is a small victory. So I'm going to go Stranraer. I think I'll go down, and I'd love Clyde to go down.
Ando?
I'm no different to Doug. In either case, I don't think Stranraer picking another point up, to be honest. I think they're gone. I said at the start of the season when we beat them 4-0, I think it was, and we'd beat Clyde not long before it 4-0 turned. Stranraer were worse than Clyde. They've been the worst team I've seen at Bayview this season. I don't think they've got anything going forward. One thing Bonnie Rigg's got is the Totty Field, a pitch that they've got that could help them. You know, I actually think they'll take some of Spartans at home, because the way Spartans try to play is not conducive to that pitch. And I think Bonnie Rigg could bully them a little bit and get something off them at home. Stranraer don't have that. They don't have that sort of factor where you've got that pitch, which isn't great Stranraer either, to be honest, but it's not as bad as Bonnie Rigg's. So I think Stranraer are gone. They needed something. Their two games, I think, back-to-back were Bonnie Rigg and Clyde lately, was it not? And they've took 1 point. They drew 1-1 at home at Bonnie Rigg and they lost 1-0 away at Clyde. And that was their chance to stay up. If they take 4 points from that, they're safe. So their chances come and gone for me. I think they'll go. And like Doug, I'm absolutely amazed Agnew's still in a job, because he's done very, very poor there. I mean, it's mental to think a year ago there were people saying about him being a mastermind behind Greg at times, when you look at what's happened to him at Stranraer this year. Very poor. Clyde, I would love to go down. I just think they're wankers, to be honest with you. The whole Goodwillie thing, is case in point. I love the fact that they've been punted from their what was a ground they were at for years, and they're having to travel to Hamelin to play there. I would love to see them go down, because again, they've came at it lately with a bit of money, and it would just be great to see that fall flat in its face, because even though they've turned it around a little bit, they've done nowhere near as well as I think everybody thought they would do when McCall first came in. Because I think we all said they'll go on a charge, and they've not really. Like, they've not. They've been lucky that Stranraer and Bonnie Rigg have been so poor, and the gap's never widened. But no, I think Stranraer will go.
Lee, just before I hear your Lee, what the yeah. Stranraer, the only saving grace I'm thinking, is their last game at home at Stenhousemuir?
Their last game is at home to Stenhousemuir.
So that's their only saving grace, because Stenhousemuir have had their trophy the week before and they will have absolutely nothing but let's go and get pissed on their minds for that last game. That's I remember when we, did we not play like East Stirling at home and we got beat 1-0 and it was a terrible game. We just didn't, it was almost like we didn't try. That's their only saving grace, I would say. What are your thoughts?
I am the exact same as you guys. I can't see Stranraer picking up another point, unless it is that last game of the season. And, you know, I really like Scott Agnew. I love him as a player. I think he was a great coach when he came back to us. And I slightly disagree with Adam's point that he was, you know, that he's done a terrible job there, because they must have the lowest budget in the league. I would be fairly convinced of that. For half the season, they were in the playoffs. So the first half of the year, they were in the top four. They've faltered, certainly since probably after Christmas. But yeah, they'll have the lowest budget in the league. And I think that it's a wee bit harsh on them, but I, like you, and I can't see them staying up. It's a real debate for me with Bonnie Raitt and Clyde because I really dislike them both. I think that there's some really nice Bonnie Raitt fans, but a lot of the ones that I've encountered have been quite arrogant and quite rude. So it's difficult for me which one I would rather, but I am going to plump with Clyde. For something that you guys haven't mentioned, but I don't know if you remember the whole COVID thing was as well. Their players testing positive for COVID, and then we got absolutely shafted in that situation because we refused to play, which is mental. And just their whole reaction after that, and then not long after that, them fighting with our fans through there and the Goodwillie situation. There's so many that outweigh Bonnie Raitt that again it would be amazing to see them go down. And the ideal scenario for me is us relegating them on the game that we go through there. If we got the win, that meant that there's no mathematical way for them to avoid finishing last. That would honestly be beautiful because it would be at Clyde as well. So being there to drink their tears would be chef's kiss.
I think what's good for me is I can't remember, I might be totally wrong. Has there been a situation where this dreaded 10th spot has gone down in the last game? Because I'd imagine it will go down in the last game between one or, one of the three. Has there ever been a situation where that's been the, because normally someone's been relegated back quite comfortably, but I'm
Yeah,
trying to
because
think of
it's like,
Albion were completely down.
no, I think that they were to the last game as well, were they not?
Maybe.
Last season, or very close to it anyway. Certainly close to it. But yeah, I mean, I think whoever finishes last, if it's Stranraer or Bonnie Raitt, it would be a while before we've seen them come back up. Clyde are.
I don't think it's a guarantee that whoever finishes bottom is going to go down this year.
It's just about past that.
I don't think that. But I mean, by all accounts, East Kilbride are obviously quite good going forward, but apparently defensively they're awful and ship a lot of goals.
They lost to Tranent at the
And the,
weekend in the cup, didn't they, on penalties? So I don't, yeah, like I don't think that they're the superpower that people think. However, the battle at the Highland League, I don't think is over there yet either, is it?
No. But I think the fact that the three teams will all have been fighting for their lives for a few weeks. They'll be, battle hardened, and none of them are getting pumped. So I don't know. I don't think it's a guarantee.
So in the Highland League, it's really still up for grabs. You've got Brechin on 72, Fraserburgh on 69 points, are probably the top two. And then you've got Banks, well, obviously they have the top two, but then you've got Banks-ED on 68. However, you've got Buckie Thistle, who are three games behind Brechin. Yeah, three games behind Brechin on 63 points. So they win their games in hand, and that puts them level. So it's still up for play there, but I don't think that it'll be East Kilbride that will come up. That is my prediction. If no matter who finishes last, I don't think East Kilbride will be the team that go up. I think that you'll probably find that we'll add another Highland League team. Now, that's the next part of the question there for you, Doug. Really, I mean, would you like to see Brechin come back? Nice away day, or the fancy trips further up north to Fraserburgh or Buckie? Bit of a
Yeah,
trek,
I
or
mean,
would you rather East Kilbride?
I did always like breaking away days. I always quite like Glebe Park. I think for all the other clubs in League Two, it may be quite heartening to see Brechin come back, because I think every team that's gone down at League Two, it's been a proper like, see you later, that's you, thanks for coming. Whereas at least then, if you had that one example. So if you did go down one year, it's not like, well, we're kind of screwed. So I think it'd be quite nice to see Brechin back. Well, always a well-run club and have been relatively successful, although their slide out the leagues was remarkable. What was it like, bottom, bottom, bottom or something, 3 years in a row? It was horrendous.
There's something about Brechin that I like, given the fact they're a club of similar ilk to us, but they're getting backed by Mega Money now. One of the car dealerships is putting money into them, I believe. So, I mean, them coming back's another superpower, if you want to call it that. And then you'll see what East Kilbride, who are just throwing money about, like, some confetti. They come up, they would be able to spend big again, and it's harder for us to get players, blah, 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 etc. I think the one good thing that we've got in our arsenal for next season is the fact that Dick Campbell's there, and that will attract players regardless of the cash we offer. So I think that a lot of people, I think it might be similar next season for us, that people will tip us for the league, given the fact of who our manager is and what they'll expect us to do in the summer window. I think the thing for me is if you'd asked me 10 weeks ago, did I ever think there would be a chance that we would be pushing for the playoffs at the end of the season? Absolutely not. And if I did say yes, I'd have thought that it meant that we'd finished bottom. So I think that, given where we were from then to now has been an amazing turnaround. It's almost the same as last season. We were swimming about in mediocrity and then bang, hit form at the right side of the season and scraped into the playoffs. I suppose the question is, can we do it again? But that's pretty much all for me. Let's all laugh at if any of you guys have got anything to add. Doug?
I actually, although I don't normally watch them, but I quite enjoyed the Old Firm game on Sunday. But I think my let's all laugh is probably Fabio Silva for one of the most pathetic performances. I almost thought, like a Goldson or someone would go over and say, "You're no, you need to be a wee bit harder in playing in this league or certainly this fixture than just falling about." And it's amazing to think if you ever want an example of how overspending the English Premier League is, then him for 35 million is absolutely laughable. So I thought that was quite funny. Also, my final thought for me is it's Masters week, so life is good. I've had live at the Masters on for hours. There's nothing to watch. It's great. So I'm happy because it's, the golf is on.
Or the gout.
Spring has arrived.
That's it. That's it. Aaron.
It's a bit of a let's all laugh it, but it's like also I just found it staggering. I watched the Man City Liverpool game on Sunday, and it was the interview with Ten Hag after it, and he basically asked. It was not from Sky; it was in the press conference after it, and he got asked about his concerns around. I think Man United have had the most shots against them in all Europe's top five leagues or something like that, for a team that's in the top half. It's something mental like that. Goal difference minus one, blah, blah, blah. And he actually came out and said, "Well, it's part of the game plan." Effectively, that was words to that effect of, "Well, we want teams to come on to us and have shots at us so we can get in behind them." And I'm like, wow, I mean, who would be happy with Brentford having 30 shots at you? It was just one of those disbelieving moments, like he actually just said that. So yeah, that was just something that caught my eye a little bit on Sunday night. But yeah, in terms of the Old Firm, Doug, I'm with you. Like, it's just the VAR thing. I'm going so far off football now. Like, in terms of elite level football, I'm sick of it. Like, I'm so past. It was never a penalty on that Fabulous. The boys won the ball first, and then he's ran and hitting his knee, and it's a penalty. It's like, and then what was just staggered belief was the replay the referee was shown was a freeze frame of I'm being contacted by the knee, but the freeze frame before it didn't show I'm winning the ball first. It's like, what's happening to football? Like, what is going on at the top level of the game? It's killing the sport.
I think VAR is a massive, massive disaster for football. Like, absolutely. I mean, I remember when they first talked about it coming in, and now my point always was that's part of the game is, mistakes are made, and that you just, you'll get mistakes for you, and you'll get ones that go against you, and that's part of the chat in the pub afterwards of like, oh, I can't believe we got away with that one in the last minute or whatever. And I know it's a business, blah, 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 but the actual fun of watching football at the top level for me is completely gone. I mean, I've said, like, especially in England, I watch less and less and less English football because everyone's overpaid off their chart. They don't give a shit if they win or lose. And just VAR every week. Match of the day, I used to watch it religiously. Very rarely watch it because that's all they talk about.
All that's happened, though, is it's like they've replaced natural errors for VAR errors. So it's almost, you know, robbing Peter to pay Paul. Like, you know, I think rugby nail it with the TMO. I mean, apart from the Scotland game this year where they made an error. But other than that, you very rarely see them get it wrong. And I think that until they perfect it, just take it away. Because...
Linear stuff's good. I think the offside has been fine. If the rule is that if you're a ball here offside, you're offside, that's fine because it's there and kind of black and white. The goal line technology has been brilliant, absolutely brilliant. Yeah. It's so quick. It's like check the watch. It's over the line. Goal. Simple as that. And you know, I think they're talking next year that the offside rule is going to change again, that you now if the attacker's in front of the defender, he has to be a full body, you know, so even if a bit of toe is level with the guy, but his whole body's offside, technically, he's now onside is the shout it's going to be. Which it'll be good, as in there'll be a lot more goals, but it's like, just have it line decisions and that's it. And I think everyone will be quite happy.
Because the whole thing, and I'm sorry for any of our listeners that are bored of the VAR debate, if you listen to TalkSport, it's on it all the time, and I'm always bored of talking about it as well, but I think that the points come up, so we'll discuss it. But the whole point of VAR is it's meant to be there for something that's clear and obvious. And 99% of the decisions you see are not clear and obvious. So it's almost like, and you do tend to find that the decisions tend to favour the big teams, which makes me sick. Like, honestly, like, and like you guys, I mean, Man United have been my team for as long as I can remember, like way back. And I watched the game on Sunday, but purely because I wasn't really doing anything else. But aside from that, like, I don't watch the Champions League anymore. Couldn't tell you the last Champions League game I watched. I don't watch the Premier League unless there's nothing else to do, because that it's just not fun anymore. It's not. Totally get your point. Finally, for me, there's a few points I wanted to raise. Obviously, I just wanted to give a shout out to my other wee team, Thornton Hibs, who are having an absolutely tremendous season up at second in their league. And just, I think they've only lost two games all season, which is absolutely brilliant. And a team that's got like Stirling University, etc., in it as well. So hopefully they go on and manage to get promoted. Be delighted to see that happen. The second point I wanted to raise is, as you guys know, I'm a commercial manager for the club, and it's that time of the season where we're actively seeking sponsorships for the shirt sponsors for next season. I believe all of them, as it stands, are up for grabs. So please do get in touch if your business or anybody else's business or any of your friends or family that you think would like to advertise on next season's shirt. Obviously, we're predicting that it could be one that's quite highly up for grabs given the fact of who the management team are and what the expectations of next season will be. So if you're interested, get in touch commercial at east5fc.info or just refer them to me on social media. I'm happy to deal with them then. Aaron, I believe you had one final point that you wanted to raise on the under-20s.
Yeah, I just wanted to put a shout out to the physio they've got there, Declan Milligan. Obviously, as you will be aware, there was an incident in the game late recently where it was abandoned when Charlie was taken off for a serious injury. You know, it was a neck injury. And I don't think it's came out too much, but the quick thinking of Declan was huge, like absolutely massive. How he managed to stabilise Charlie at that point, you know, with what was a really, really serious injury and could have had massive repercussions for the lad. And Declan's quick thinking, clear thinking when what must be an absolute awfully pressurised situation, you know, it resulted in minimal injury to something that could have been really catastrophic. So I just wanted just to put that shout out there because I don't think there's been much that's came out about how Declan's quick actions and clear thinking really prevented something really, really serious happening there. So I just wanted to give him credit for that because that's huge for Charlie as a player, but also as a person. So just want to say well done to Declan and keep up the good work.
Yeah, yeah.
Dilly dilly. Yeah, good job, Declan, and also to Charlie. All the best to him in his recovery. Like you say, Aaron, it's not something that I've seen or really even heard about. So I'm delighted to hear that that was the case. That is all, however, from this episode of Glory Days of Goals. Thanks as always to Doug and to Aaron for joining us. I've been Lee Gillis. You can hear my shite next Saturday again at Bayview or the MGM Timber Bayview Stadium to give it its full name. Like I say, tickets are still available. There's 10 tickets left. Go on and grab them and I'll sign your top for you. No, I won't. Just kidding. Get yourself down there and we'll see you then. But until then, thanks for listening. Take care. More importantly, one to five.
Lord Provost Warren of Glasgow presents the Scottish League Cup to the side that lasted the course better. All conquering East Fife.
As I made my way to that pitch on Wellesley Road to sing my songs for the boys in black and gold, I heard the stories about 1938, and I was just a boy and he had half to wait. Now there's broken dreams and what might have been at that stadium by the shore, but those glory days of gold might return once more.